Now we're going to read from the Psalm. We're reading Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates in his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and whose leaf does not wither, whether they do prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff, and the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Good morning, church. How are we this morning? Give me a wave if you're here. That's good. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Martin. I and my wife Catherine have been coming to Bourne Baptist Church now for nearly 2 years. And this morning we're thinking about going deeper in our walk with God and the message of Psalm 1. So I wonder, have you ever been in a situation where you find that there are more and more demands heaping up on your time and energy, and you find yourself asking, how am I going to get through all of these things that are required of me? And how am I going to do this all without losing myself and without losing sight of God? 2.5 years ago, I found myself in such a situation. I had recently started a new job, a job that I had a real passion for. But I was discovering that the way the job had been scoped out before I joined had massively underestimated the work required to successfully deliver the project. At the same time, I was also co-executor of someone's will and estate, and I was having a very challenging time working with a firm of solicitors who kept making mistakes and also did not seem able to add up numbers and get the correct answer. The stress I was experiencing from all this manifested itself in the form of inner ear crystals that could cause the room to spin wildly if I moved my head suddenly. It was like being on a tiny boat flung around on big waves. Faced with this set of circumstances, I asked a wise Christian friend this question: how do I build resilience so that I can get these things done without losing myself and without losing sight of God or my mental health? The answer he gave me has been extremely helpful. It is about consistent Christian living and going deeper with Christ. It's in the form of a start of the day prayer, but I'd like to share it here today as both a prayer and a testimony in the hope that you might also find it helpful. There are 12 steps in this prayer, but there's no need to leave the room. They are all quite short. And the first step is to acknowledge who God is. And this is how many of the Psalms start, Psalm 8, 9, and 19, and many more. So I thank the Lord for who he is. He is beyond my understanding. He created the world and the whole universe, and yet he still loves me. And secondly, I acknowledge to God that even though he has given me this fairly wonderful set of circumstances that I am living in, I've actually got nothing good to contribute to this day unless it originates from him, unless he has gifted it or anointed it, or he has made the conversation or brought the people across my path. There is nothing of me that is inherently good enough. Thirdly, I ask the Lord to go ahead of me and prepare the day, prepare the ground, prepare everything that I'm going into, so that the environments that I'm going into, he is already in them. And fourthly, I ask the Lord to bring across my path only those people he wants around me today. And on more than one occasion, I've prayed that prayer, and later that same morning, someone who I need to speak to, who does not normally ring me up, has called me on the phone. And then I also ask the Lord to keep away all those who are either going to destroy, demoralise, distract, or actually not benefit or mock what the Lord is planning to do today with me in it. And the psalm that Peter read to us, we read earlier, reminds us not to sit in the company of mockers. Number five, I invite the Lord to fill me with his Spirit. And I ask specifically for the gifts that I need to be with me today. And I ask that he will fill me, and that working within me, the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be abundant, active, that there would be sufficient of it to overflow and alter the spiritual environment around me. In other words, wherever I go, there is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because the hidden word there is above which there is no law. So actually, by wanting to be full of the Holy Spirit and all of the gifting that I have specifically asked for, being let loose in me and in abundance, but also asking that the fruit of the Spirit would be abundant and surplus and overflowing in me, what I am doing is creating a whole world, a spiritual bubble that I live in, and all of those that the Lord brings across my path come under the influence thereof. And then number six, I confess to the Lord that I don't have the capacity to do all of the things that I would feel obliged to do today. So I ask the Lord to please give me wisdom and to give me integrity, so that what I do with wisdom and integrity. What I can't do, what I don't do, well, I've done everything else with integrity. So what doesn't get done cannot be used against me and cannot be used against the Lord, because everything else has been done with integrity. By having the wisdom, I don't say yes to everything, and I don't then feel like I am a yes man or in slavery. And I'm certainly not under the control of the damage that I brought with me into this relationship with Christ. I've got wisdom and integrity. Those two things make me a man of my word. And we only give our word when we know we can deliver on it, or we know God is actually going to get involved and add that supernatural dynamic to it. Number seven, I bring down the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I place my sin, my baggage, my damage, my darkness, my disorder, my dysfunction, my evilness, and my wickedness under the blood of Christ. And eight, I then pray that all the reasons why there is such darkness and wickedness in my life, all the authorities that mean it's in my life, that too goes under the blood of Christ. And all the ways my darkness manifests itself, and I list them every day, anger, hate, bitterness, judging, questioning, self-doubt, despair, regret, sadness, betrayal, self-loathing, big long list. So all the ways that my darkness manifests itself in my life, I place under the blood of Christ, and I say it will not operate today. And Ephesians 6 verse 12 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that is what we are praying about. And then nine, I call out the man that I, Martin, was created to be. And I call out the man that I was saved to be. I call my gifting an anointing, and I call it out, and I see me, and I choose to be me. I choose to stand as the man I was saved to be, and I call out my gifting anointing, and I will use it from this instance onwards all day. And it is only my gifting and my anointing, plus the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I've just prayed for, plus the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I've just prayed for, that combination is what I choose to stand in now. And Martin is the man that is present now, because everything else is now under the blood of Christ. And 10, I choose to stand in the robes of my salvation, and I choose to put on the full armour of God, and I invite the Lord to place his cloak over my shoulders so that I walk beside him all day. So as a soldier, your robe goes on first, and then your armour goes over your robe. So that is the order of the prayer. Isaiah 61 talks about our robes of salvation. Ephesians 6 describes the armour of God. So that's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, sandals of readiness, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. And 11, I then declare that I choose to stand fully in my manhood or womanhood in Christ, and I choose to stand fully in my authority in Christ, and I choose to stand fully in my stature and in my dignity and my integrity in Christ. In the Bible, the words declare, declares, or declared occur over 400 times. This is significant. Declarations can be very powerful. They can change things on the spiritual landscape. In September 2012, I made a declaration about who I was created to be, and it led to a whole new career. But that's a story for another day. And then finally, number 12. So I ask all of this and declare all of this in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, I also declare that I want to be seen and known as a child of Christ, as a friend of Christ, as a servant of Christ, and as an envoy for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, I've been using this prayer almost every day now for many months, and my testimony is that it has helped me go deeper in my relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And it has helped me navigate through tough times and challenges. Now, someone once said that a good sermon should have 3 points, and here we have 12. But we can summarise the above into just 3 steps by saying that the journey of going deeper with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it's about 3 things. Firstly, it's about asking the Holy Spirit and the Lord to help us to get rid of our damage, our baggage, and our sinful ways. Secondly, it's about becoming the person that the Lord created us to be. And thirdly, it's about living out our calling, doing something to help usher in the kingdom of God. As Jesus put it in the example prayer to the Father that he gave us, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So this, I believe, is one way that we can be like the tree in Psalm 1, a deep-rooted tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. For each of us, that journey of going deeper with Christ will be a different and unique journey. And for me at least, I'm still very much a work in progress. So that is my testimony and some thoughts on the message of Psalm 1. I hope it is helpful. Amen.